This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is off today. Harvard researchers still do not know what caused the malfunction of freezers that contained one of the world's largest collection of autism brain samples. One-third of those samples at the Harvard Brain Tissue Resource Center at McLean Hospital in Belmont were severely damaged as they thawed out undetected for days. Experts say the loss could set autism research back by years. Joining us now is Karen Weintraub, who's been investigating this story for the Boston Globe. Good to see you again, Karen.
Nice to see you, too.
Also with us is Dr. Manuel Casanova. He's a professor of psychiatry at the University of Louisville School of Medicine and has used tissue from the McLean Research Center for his autism research and has run two major brain banks himself in the United States. Dr. Casanova, welcome to you.
Nice of you having me here.
Karen, let us begin with you. First of all, how did we find out that these freezers malfunctioned, and do researchers know any more about why they did?
So they discovered the problem on May 31st and think that the freezer, it was one particular freezer called Freezer U, and they think it had turned off probably 3 days earlier based on the temperature in the freezer. There were two independent alarms on the freezer and an external thermostat that they check twice a day. They don't open the freezer because it could compromise the sample, so they only check from this external freezer.
Tell us a little bit more about what is in the collection and why these samples are so valuable.
Right. So they had about 150 brain samples in Freezer U. 54 of them were autism brains. The brains are used, and Dr. Casanova can probably speak to this better than I can, but the brains are used for research. There's certain things that you can understand about a brain from frozen samples that you can't from samples fixed in formaldehyde, for instance. And half of these brains, they did have samples, pieces of them left in formaldehyde.
And as you were saying, normally there would be alarms that go off if the freezers rise to a certain temperature, and this is a redundant system.
Yep. And they didn't go off. The reason there were so many autism brains in one freezer, normally they distribute them among 24. There are 24 freezers. They had concentrated a lot of them in this Freezer U because they had researchers coming several weeks earlier to take a look at the brains. So they had put them for ease in one freezer.
Dr. Casanova, how important from your perspective as an autism researcher is this collection of samples?
Oh, it's invaluable. The Autism Tissue Program that sponsors the collection has sponsored over 100 projects in 15 different countries, and is responsible for maybe over 90% of all of the published literature on the subject.
90% of all the published literature on autism, it comes from research that was done through some of these brain samples?
I'm talking primarily in regards to the postmortem or brain tissue type of research.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That wouldn't really include a neuroimaging or other resources.
Okay, so research that used tissues to begin with, postmortem tissues. Okay. And now you have run similar tissue banks in the past in your career. How surprising or rare is it for a sort of double mechanical failure like this to happen?
It's very rare. Actually, I have never heard of anything like this. Usually the most important safeguard is the alarm, and you can actually test it on a regular basis as you're doing your inspections. And you usually have people that actually go around making rounds. I actually read from the story that the temperature had actually lowered to about 7 degrees
Celsius,
which is really unheard of. That should have been illuminated in the instrumentation panel. So even though the alarms did not go off, somebody who was making the rounds should have been aware of this.
So that was the third thing that neither the alarm sounded and the external indicator was showing when the guy opened the freezer and didn't get that whoosh of cold air, it was showing minus 79 degrees Celsius on the outside of the freezer. So there was no external indication at all that this freezer had failed.
Hmm. Dr. Casanova, given that this is one of, if not the world's largest collection of brain samples from people who had suffered from autism, I mean, when it's quite striking to hear you say and hear other researchers say that it could set back research on the disease by years, is there no other way to recoup what was lost?
No, I think that nobody will be using the tissue because it has been a compromise. And the major criticism of studies thus far have been the small samples. Now we just have a smaller population from where to select not only the autistic samples, but being able to match them to controls. So this actually sets back the whole autism research, primarily in terms of brain tissue, several years. That's for sure.
Part of the problem is that autism is a lifelong condition, and so you might have one brain of a four-year-old, but you don't know how many people that represents, and autism is also extremely varied. So you might have somebody who can't speak and somebody who's just socially awkward, and so you need brains that represent the full spectrum of symptoms condition. Mm.
Karen, on that point, I do wonder, does this story and the vulnerability of such a small grand scheme of things, it's a relatively small sample, and yet hugely important for research. Right. So has this highlighted a need or a sense amongst autism research that perhaps there needs to be an effort to somehow encourage more donations?
Right. Well, several researchers I spoke to made that point, that we need to really encourage people to donate. And in fact, I was working on a story about the Brain Bank to try to get publicity for this effort to get contributions when this happened. The other issue that several scientists mentioned to me is that it raises the issue of lack of support from the federal government. This was a private collection because there hasn't been that much support from the federal government for collecting these brains and for keeping them safe.
And Dr. Casanova, with the autism rate seeming to grow over time, I mean, now it's approximately 1 in 88 or so children who are diagnosed as being somewhere on the autism spectrum. Do you see the possibility that a story such as this one coming from McLean Hospital might, you know, encourage, as what Karen was saying, a sort of more federal, oversight or involvement in terms of procuring more samples?
Well, hopefully. Most researchers actually understand that the pathology, what is wrong in autism, is reflected within the brain, and we need high-level resolution techniques that can only be obtained through postmortem research. Neuroimaging would be another structural modality, but it pales in comparison when you compare the resolutions of both techniques.
Hmm. And Karen Weintraub, finally, what has Harvard and McLean Hospital told you about how it's going to move forward from this loss of the samples?
Well, they're still trying to understand exactly what happened, and they're beefing up security and their checks on these freezers, and just trying to figure out how this possibly could have happened. Hmm.
Karen Weintraub is an investigative reporter for the Boston Globe. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you.
And Dr. Manuel Casanova, psychiatry professor at the University of Louisville School of Medicine. Dr. Casanova, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us, because up next, soda is exempt from the sales tax in Massachusetts, but some say it shouldn't be. We'll talk about why. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is Radio Boston.